Attention Magazine, making a difference for people affected by ADHD. Check out the April issue, where we'll cover financial literacy, time management, developing organizational skills, and ADHD in the workplace. Attention Magazine is chad.org. Click, join, get involved. Download the Attention Magazine app on iTunes.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
All right, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper. And tonight, our topic, time management in teens with ADHD, living the experience. And with us in our virtual studio is Leslie Josell. This is Leslie's second time on Attention Talk Radio. It's been a while, so we're really excited to have her back. And more importantly, we're really excited about tonight's topic. Real quickly, tonight is April the 8th in the year 2015 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know, as I read these dates off, it just blows my mind to think back. We started this thing, well, God, 5-6 years ago, and we've been doing it every week ever since. It's been a really long time. But know that we do this because of the comments that we get from you, our listeners out there, and sometimes the references that they have of the stories that you tell us of how our show has helped, moved you, and learned some stuff. Before we get into tonight's show, as usual, we got a couple announcements. One, the ADD Coaching Academy is trying to do some research on character strengths. More specifically, they're using the VIA character strengths as a pioneer study, and they're trying to gather some data of people taking this questionnaire and getting that data and averaging it and kind of comparing it to the rest of the general population. It's a free survey. And if you're out there, we'd really like you to participate. And you could do so very easily by going to addca.com/character. It's free. It'll take you about 15, maybe 20 minutes to fill it out. I have to tell you, I did it, and I was shocked and amazed at some of the characters that kind of came out. It was I've taken a lot of these things before. What I got was unexpected, but in reflection, it kind of nailed it. So that's that. Also, Dr. Barkley has been encouraging me to promote ADHDfund.com. It's a crowdsourcing website to raise funds for small-scale ADHD research worldwide. Also, if you haven't participated, it's time to get involved in the 115 million CHAD campaign that's going on. Think of it as kind of very similar to the ALS Bucket Challenge. For more information on that, go to chadd.org. And as an aside note, we've done a show last week, and we're going to do some more about the need to really be a CHAD member, not because you want to get the magazine, not because you want to get the forums and the website, because CHAD speaks with one voice for the ADHD community, and the advocacy is very, very important. It doesn't help you necessarily individually, but it does help the community, and the more that support CHAD, the healthier of the ADHD community that we have. So with that, I also would like to encourage, it's not too late, to start looking at going to the CHAD conference this year. I'm excited. It's in New Orleans, Louisiana, November the 12th through the 14th, and you can find out more information by going to their website at chadd.org. All right, so that's the announcement. So let's get into tonight's show. Today, again, we got Leslie Josell, who's the principal owner of Order Out of Chaos, an organizing consulting firm specializing in student organizing and chronic disorganization. She's a graduate of the JST Coach Training Program. That's Jody Sleeper Triplett's program. We've had her on multiple times, and the coaches in her program are actually used by the Ed Foundation, a near and dear advertiser to us. Leslie is a Golden Circle member of the National Association for Professional Organizers, and I believe the NAPO conference is coming up next week. So if you're an organizing person, you can go check that out. She earned her Chronic Disorganization and Hoarding Certificate from the Institute for Challenging Disorganization. Interesting, the ICD, Institute for Challenging Disorganization. That's fascinating to me. Anyway, she's the creator of the award-winning Academic Planner, a tool for time management, and recently published What's the Deal with Teens and Time Management, which we're going to talk about in depth tonight. She's also known nationally as an expert on chronic disorganization and hoarding issues. Leslie has appeared on many episodes of the Learning Channel's hit show Hoarding Buried Alive, the Cooking Channel television special Stuffed Food Hoarders, and D-Light TV. For more information on Leslie and Order Out of Chaos, visit orderoutofchaos.com. With that, Leslie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me back. I'm really excited to be back.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you back. It's been a while, but I have to tell you, it was great meeting you last year. It was Arizona we bumped into each other, right?
I know. It was so much fun, like finally putting faces to names and voices, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, everybody, every once in a while I mention this, the cool part about being me is I get to do the interviews, and I get an amazing education from those that I visit, and periodically people will contact me because they've got a book or they want something they want to promote, and if you'll look back in our show archives, we really don't do a lot of that. We really try to focus on kind of hitting the epicenter or something somewhere to enlighten you on the how side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And Leslie had actually contacted me on her book, and she sent it to me, and I flipped through it. And I got to tell you, on page 15, she's talking about mindsets that you need to get into some of this stuff. And she talks about instead of focusing on behavior, focus on the brain. And I got to tell you, if you know me, that speaks to me because it's not about adapting your brain to the process. It's about finding the process that maps to your brain. And further, she goes on, she talks about it's not about outcome, but how you get there. And so to me, as a coach, I really could care less about outcome. I'm more worried or concerned about helping you understand your natural process to get there, because if I can help you figure that out and you can photocopy it, the outcomes will just come. So, Leslie, it's a thrill to have you on, and I love these the mindsets that you have. So to begin, you got involved in this kind of as a lived experience with your own teens. Can you just tell us about that a little bit?
Sure. Well, I got involved with it way before my teens were teens. So as you might remember, my son, who's now 17, if you can believe it, was 5 when he was diagnosed with ADHD and executive dysfunction and a whole host of learning issues. And I think what most parents do, you turn over every rock to gain information. But remember, back then, you're going back almost 12 years ago, there wasn't the wealth of information that there is now.
Mm-hmm.
And I did some crazy things back then to really try to untangle my son's world, both at home and at school. And I won't go into all the details now, but I did some things then that were pretty revolutionary. Maybe not now, but then. Like, so one of the things I did, there's actually coded everything in my house blue that belonged to my son, because blue for him was very calming, and it helped him to gain control. So very short story, long as they say, a very dear friend of mine who was a therapist saw what I did, asked me to help some client of hers. I did it out of the goodness of my heart. And in 2 weeks, I had about 4 calls from her friend asking me to come and put time management and organizational systems in place to really help her ADHD families. And I turned to my husband and I said, but I don't do this for a living. And he said, well, you do now. That's literally how Order Out of Chaos was born, and that was about over a decade ago, and things have really changed. I mean, I'm a very lucky girl that I'm able to pair my personal and professional life. I've gone on to be certified and educated. I have built we're now a full-fledged company. We offer also, products and services and all sorts of things for people, whether you're virtual or around the corner.
So,
there is a need. There is a real desperate need for family education, for teaching parents in particular how to help their children.
And what I like about you, Laura, is the example that you had where you coded everything blue for your son that was his, is that's not really a solution that you'll find in the self-help section of the bookstore. It's so stuck in like 20 years and you've got to do it this way. And that leads into a concept that you outline in your book that I think is really profound. And you talk about time management is a life skill, and it doesn't come naturally to everybody. And I like the concept that it's a skill, because it's something that it's like shooting free throws. They're taking a certain amount of sitting down and discipline to do this. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, you have to remember, I spend so much time working with students, but I spend so much time working with parents, and I'm not always the most popular person in the room. I have to tell you, because I do feel that way, that time management is not a school skill. I don't really ever approach it as a school skill. It is a life skill, because here's the hard facts. No one, and this is what I tell people, I tell parents, no one is going to care what your child got on his Mesopotamia test when he was in eighth grade. They're just not going to care. And I know it's funny, and I am kind of funny when I talk, but that really hits home. But you're going to be sure that your student's college professor or your student's boss is going to really remember if they don't turn something in on time or if they don't show up on time. And so time management, really, we have to change that mindset and look at it as a life skill. But more importantly, we have to look at it as a life skill that deserves time, attention, consistency, and patience. Because a lot of us feel, as parents sometimes, I get that whole, like, well, you know, can't I just hand him a book and he'll learn it? No. We spend a tremendous amount of time teaching our kids how to drive cars, how to play soccer, how to do all these other types of skills. We need to be putting the same amount of time into time management.
That reminds me, for those listeners, if you listen over the years, I talk a lot about Boy Scouts and what I learned from them. And one of their things is that it's EDGE. Educate, demonstrate, guide, and empower. And the process is you really explain it to them, and then you show, like, you know, here's what knots are for, and this is a square knot. Then you demonstrate how to tie a square knot. Then you give it to them, and you guide them to square knot, and then you give them the tools in order for them to do it.
Exactly.
And that's a process that you take them through, because if you want them to tie a square knot and at the right place and the right time, you've got to show them the process to kind of get there. And what you're describing is hey, and tying a square knot is a skill like time management is, and as a parent, it's just not, here's the outcome I want you to get to. Sometimes you have to guide them through the process, and I might be putting words in your mouth, but based off of what I've read and what I know, is the process is not necessarily your process. It's working with your child or your teen in the situation to kind of help them witness their own natural process in their mind, because however they naturally can see and deal with time in their mind is going to dictate what time management solutions will work. Now, so you want to comment on that? If I'm off base, feel free to comment.
No, you are so on the money. And it's not that difficult, because I think what I also hear a lot is, well, you know, if I'm not that organized, how do I do it? But I really tap into, it's exactly what you said, I tap into what I call best practices. I tap into what is your student doing already that he's successful at, and kind of taking that and those processes and using it to, you know, for learning purposes or for teaching purposes. So something I talk a lot about in my book is homework. Okay, you can't avoid it. I know I say time management isn't a school skill per se, but when they're a teen, it really is at that point in their life. Maybe later on, it's a skill that they're going to need to succeed in life. But right now, we do focus on, you know, how well they're doing. I don't want to say how well they're doing academically. I talk about more how they're doing time management and organizationally. But what I talk about is creating even something called like a personal homework profile. Because, again, not every kid is tapped the same way.
Yep.
Right? We know that.
Yep.
So, can
you hold that thought for a second?
Absolutely.
I want to back up and cover a few things, and I want to go to break, and I want to come back into that a little bit. A second ago, you said I was commenting about, it's kind of an outside-in approach, kind of understanding how their mind works and finding the solution that works. And you said it's not that difficult, and I can't agree with you more, except what's difficult are for parents to let go of how they think their kids are supposed to manage time and actually witness what works. And the other thing that you said, and I do this all the time, is a lot of people say, well, you know, my kid's late, da-da-da-da, is like, my son plays soccer, and he's never not late for soccer. And so I watch what he does in order to remember time for soccer, because whatever, he's got a system for that in place. He might miss other things, but he's doing something right there, and the clues to what's going to work for him is what enables him to make that on time, at least from my perspective. And the hard part is not looking at the answers, but the hard part is really kind of getting out of your head and thinking that they should do it one way or another. So, Leslie, I do want to go to a break real quick. Before we go, everybody, you can learn more about Leslie by going to her website, OOCHAOS.com. Is that right?
It's Order OOCHAOS. Is the best way to say it.
OorderOOChaos.com. And if you go there, you can actually purchase her books. particularly the one we're talking about tonight, Teens and Time Management, with Leslie Josel. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
As the mom of a kid with ADHD, I wanted him to have a summer camp experience like all the other kids, but I also wanted him to work on his social skills and become more confident, so I decided to send him to SOAR.
At SOAR, I got to have fun and be myself with other kids who are just like me. I felt comfortable and like I was part of a group. I can't wait to go back next summer.
Give your child a summer of success at SOAR. Learn more and apply today at ADHDSummerCamps.com or SOARMC.org. Your journey to success begins at SOAR.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Leslie Josel, and we are getting into time management and teens with ADHD. Before the break, we were emphasizing like philosophies a lot and how I really like your approach. It's kind of an inside out, not an outside in type of thing. And I think that's really kind of key. So can you help us kind of crawl into the mind of a teenager at this point in time and start trying to understand how you work with them in terms of time?
Well, I have to just back up for 1 second because I think I have to kind of frame it before I do.
Okay.
Because one of the biggest struggles that I find with teens across the board, and again, it's a chuckle, is that they live in two worlds. And I'm not saying every teen. We know that. There are teens that wake up born time managed and organized, and they're the teen that says to the teacher, wait, you said at 2:32 we were going to go do X. Like, they're on it. But for most teens, as we know, they live in two worlds, particularly those who have ADHD. They live in what we call the now or the not now, and they're either now. And the not now is somewhere out there. And connecting those two worlds, I find in my work, is one of the hardest things to teach and one of the hardest things to learn. But we know that that is the essence of time management. It's having that future awareness. It's being able to see time ahead of you. So to look forward, look back, maybe make a plan, and then hopefully stay on track. But that future awareness is what, when we take all of the time management issues there are, that's what we drill it down to, and that's the work we also try to do with parents. We get a lot of that, my child is 13, my child is 16, they should be able to do X, and we know, even from the great Russell Barkley, that kids that present with any types of deficits, particularly a time management deficit, are going to present at a much younger age of that deficit. We know that. So you're going to work with a child, maybe they're 13, but they're not 13 when it comes to their time management. They might be not. They might be presenting as a 9-year-old.
I absolutely agree with that. I didn't mean to interrupt. Keep going.
No, that's a huge thing for us. That's a huge mindset that we try to teach, that we have to really, as you said, we need to meet the student where they're at. We can't.
And so how do you help them connect the now and the future?
A lot of it is done with, like, similar to what you said. We need to show them the big picture, because for a student in particular, if you're just telling them something that and they can't see it, it's not going to it's not going to hold. We do a lot of visual work. We'll do everything from, can you tell me what 20 minutes feels like to you? Can you tell me how long things take you? And I mean, and fun things, like, so that we have them fill in the blanks. We do a tremendous amount of time mapping. So my favorite story, Jeff, and I think you will appreciate this, is when we ask a student what time they get out of school, and they say 3 o'clock, and then we ask them, okay, well, what time do you have to get to your, like, let's say, tennis lesson, and they say 5 o'clock, and we say, well, how much time do you have for homework that night, and they say 2 hours. They do not take into account getting home, having a snack, walking the dog, and then obviously changing their clothes maybe and getting to their activity. But by mapping it out, by showing them time, by giving them a chance to actually see time, helps us to teach it to them, helps us to create that awareness, and helps them, because one of my biggest mantras is that if a student cannot see their time, they cannot learn to manage it.
You just hit a chord with me.
I hit lots of chords.
I released a video, an Attention Talk video the other day about working memory, and in the video I basically state 4 words, and you're not allowed to repeat them or write them down. And the idea is you've got to repeat them back to me in alpha order. And of those I coach, I do this almost with everybody. And oddly enough, those 4 words, only about 50% of them can repeat them back to me in alpha order. And I do that exercise because those with ADHD have difficulty with working memory, because think about it, you've got to hold those 4 words, pay attention to each one individually, reorder them so you have 2 lists in your mind and repeat it back to me. And it's the simplest 4 words, but again, I can't tell you how many people struggle with it, and about half of them don't get it. They either miss the order or they forget some words. And if you go to 8 or 9, it's more difficult. And the reason I did that, I learned that from Dr. Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
So those with ADHD, they need to play with it like Legos, play it on the ground. But if you were to write those words on index cards, you could easily reorder. Maybe it would be a piece of cake. And so when you talk about seeing time visually, in the context of ADD and my interviews with some of the experts, it totally makes some sense. And for those out there, real quickly, I'm going to say the 4 words, and you can do this yourself. They are kangaroo, beat, heart, and teach. I'll let you go off and kind of do that on your own, but
I'm writing them down.
No, you're not allowed to do that.
No, I'm going to give it to my son, not me. I'm going to have to give my son.
But my emphasis here is that they need to physically see and interact, or as Dr. Barkley says, play with time, because play is an executive function. It's about planning, organizing, sequencing. And when you're talking about having them do this, in your book, you talk about mapping time, and that is, okay, you get out of school at 3 o'clock, and you got to be doing this at 5 o'clock, and you actually begin to say, okay, I got to get on the bus, and I got to come home, and there's 15 minutes to walk the dog. And when they actually write it out, they begin to see it because they're interacting with time, and they get a better sense of time as a result of it.
Absolutely. One of my funniest stories is I always say when I ask a student how long something's going to take them to do, I get the proverbial 20 minutes. Everything is 20 minutes. Is that funny? It's just funny to me. Everything is 20 minutes. But that what it shows me is that when they're grasping in the air for it, when they can't put their hands on it, when they can't see it or touch it, or because we know everybody's very different learners, then that's usually the answers I get. But when the other thing, the other dynamic there, and this to me is very important when you're working with teens. Remember, I really do my work with students. I don't really work with older people, like adults like us. Is if I was to tell them they had that amount of time, they would never hear it from me. But when it's there visually for them to feel and touch, and I'm not the one dispensing that information, it's much more real, and they take it much better. And they actually will absorb it, because there's no, you know the expression that, you don't argue with the data. It's really worked for me. That is one of my most profound tools, is having them alongside us to actually map it out so that they can actually see not so much where their time is going. That's a different concept, but more to see how things go, how long things take them to do, and really to be able to see their available blocks of time. I'm a big planner girl for that reason, because we need to be able to see all of it. We need to see all the moving parts to be able to teach them that now and the not now and the future awareness. But if we have a moment, I want to actually talk about how a parent can actually help a student with that. Because I think that is so critical. Because, again, we're not, you know, as coaches, as consultants, we're not in the house 24/7. But I work with parents all the time to teach them how to teach their children to be problem solvers as opposed to direction followers.
And yeah, talk about that.
And I know, and I think for an ADHD child, it's a really wonderful tool, because what happens is, and we know this as parents, we're busy, we're moving fast, we want to get things done, so we bark orders, go get your soccer bag, go get your knapsack, do you have your phone? But that working memory brain, the executive functioning brain, is not getting the workout. The parent's brain is, but not the student's. They're just being really good direction followers. They're not strengthening that muscle. But if you turn the table and say to your student, tell me what you need to bring to school today. Tell me what time do we need to be at soccer practice. Then what time do we need to leave if it takes us 15 minutes to get there? You're almost forcing your child not only, obviously, to take some responsibility, but you're forcing them to start thinking about the future. What comes next? What comes in an hour? I mean, we have to start small. You're starting to have them connect the now and the not now if they're the ones who have to come up with the answer.
But that goes back to the I'm such a fan of the book, and the whole, it's a skill thing. So it's like shooting free throws. You get out there, you shoot them, and you're like saying, okay, you know, what comes next? How long is that going? You're not barking the outcome to them. You're helping them discover the process. And that repetition over a period of time is teaching them a sense of time.
Exactly.
That there's this big thing between now and not now, and they've got to work with it. And Leslie, I'd like you to comment on this, but people will come to me, and it is a skill. And if you're performing at the 20th percentile as a coach, I'm not so sure I can get you to the 100th. I can get you to maybe the 40th or 50th, but it's a skill based on your aptitude, because not everybody's really kind of gifted, but it can be improved. But the idea is that practice and the repetition and the insight of helping them begin to realize how they see time, that particularly in the teen years, is how you can kind of develop a little bit of that sense of time to help them out. So you want to correct me or agree?
I want to totally agree with you. But I want to add another layer to it. Because remember, I do so much family education, and one of the pushbacks I get, I don't know if it's pushback, is when a parent says to me, but I'm not very time managed well, meaning I have trouble with it. So how do I, if I'm not wonderful at it, how do I turn the tables and help my student? And for me, teaching them this, just changing your verbiage, changing the way you speak will automatically help them. And it doesn't take, I don't want to say this in a mean way, it doesn't take a ton of skill from you to stop telling them what to do and start asking them what has to be done. One of the biggest phrases that I use in my own house, even with my 17-year-old, is, how are you going to remember to remember? It's a great question. I think it is. I'm sorry. I think it's a great question. But
I'm writing it down.
But it is. So for example, I have to be somewhere tonight at 7. Wonderful. How are you going to remember? And then the conversation goes dead, because that's the question that's missing. That's the teaching. Remember, you haven't said it. That's the scaffolding. That's the support. Even asking a question to me provides that student with support, because now they have to think of that answer.
You'll say, how are you going to remember? And I did a show years ago with Dr. Now called How Exactly Did You Do That? But we also did, I think we did it on Attention Talk videos, How Exactly Did You Remember That? So those moments where you remember something, to reflect on how exactly did you remember that, because that helps you witness the process of how you remember things. And so then when you go forward and say, hey, Leslie said, hey, how exactly am I going to remember that? Well, I'm going to remember that just like I remember this other thing over there, because that's your process. And being able to witness that in your mind, if it worked before, whatever that process was, there's a good chance it will work again, which is an example of how you help your teens discover how their brain files things and remembers them.
Right. Maybe your kid is a tech kid. Maybe your kid is glued to their phone. So that could be their support. That could be their extension. Maybe they'll put a reminder. They'll put a text.
Yep.
They'll put an alarm so it will signal to them. Maybe they like to see things visually as they walk by, so they'll have giant Post-its or whiteboards in their room so that they can see it coming or going. Maybe they'll record a message because for them that's fun and easy, and then they play it back. Meaning, it's exactly what you said. We glob on to what we see. So, like, there's a lot of I Spy going on. You know the game I Spy? Like,
yep,
I Spy. Whenever I meet with a student or a parent, my first question is always, tell me something you do that makes you organizationally or time management successful. And I ask that question, and everybody shuts up because nobody has an answer. And I'm like, they don't think that remembering their cell phone or packing a lunch or getting out the door on time in the morning is successful or is a
yep.
skill or a system that they've put in place. So, but it is, we know that. So if that's something they're doing already, let's figure out how you're doing it. Let's figure out why that's working
yep.
and go along with that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Leslie, we need to go to another break real quick. Everybody out there, go check out Leslie's site. It's orderookaos.com. And tonight we're talking a lot about stuff out of her book, Teens and Time Management. And I got to tell you, reminds me of that book, So Who Moved My Cheese? Because I think it's like 75 pages. It's easy to read. You probably can, well, for me with my dyslexia, it takes me for like, a couple hours. But for the average bear, probably take maybe an hour and a half. It's a lot of really good stuff. So again, you can purchase the book off of our website at orderookaos.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution, misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great conversation with Leslie on time management and teens. Before we kind of get back into some things, we were talking earlier about like making time tangible and visualizing it, and I can't help but bring this up, but Time Timer has been a very long and very loyal sponsor of Attention Talk Radio for years. It's kind of funny because I never forget in the early days about how we were going to do their commercial. I was thinking about this whole Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon with the alarm clock kind of going off, and then we began to realize is if you're listening to the show, you got ADD, and if you got time management problems, you got ADD. So just go to the website, which is the crafted stuff. But I'm interested in your thoughts on Time Timer, Leslie, because it is visual, and it's not just a digital thing or an analog. You actually see time kind of elapse.
Oh, they're amazing. I drink their Kool-Aid. You know what I mean? I mean, they're in my book. I talk about them in my couple of my case studies, how I used it with some of my younger students. They're my biggest resource. But again, it's because it's visual. It's because you can see time move. And we know that time is three-dimensional. And that's a hard concept, meaning time has a beginning and end, a present and a future. And I feel that the Time Timer really helps to capture that thought.
And it's just another tool to connect the now and the not now. And I have to digress for a second. If you listen to the show or website, maybe some people don't know, but I was I was a swimmer in college. I was ranked in the world at one point in time. Went to Olympic trials in 1884. Didn't make the Olympics, but I did consolation finals at nationals. And it was interesting to me because I got a real good sense of time over the years because we were always up against the clock. And I swam for the same guy who coached Mark Spitz, and he developed the concept of interval swimming. And what that basically is you do a repeat. Let's say every 2 minutes you swim 100 yards. And if you do it in a minute, you get a minute rest. If you do it in a minute and a half, you get a minute and a half rest. And for 11 years, that's basically, it was nothing about predicting and measuring time over and over and over a gazillion times a day. And we talk about the skill. It's kind of funny because if you take a watch off of me and you do some stuff, that's about 35 minutes, and I'm close within a couple minutes because we talked about this, Leslie, about mapping time, and I'm sure, I think before we kind of talked about time variance where you predict how long it's going to take you, you do it, and you kind of compare that back and forth. And for me, it's really developed that skill. And even now, sometimes I'm amazed at that was about 3 hours and 40 minutes, and it's amazing to me how relatively close I am. But I attribute that to measure myself to the clock every single day when I was swimming.
Well, I'm so happy you said that because, remember, again, I'm working with students, so you've got to make things interesting. You got to make things fun. My biggest mantra is I have to put some energy around the mundane. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I got to keep their attention. Sometimes I'm dinner and the show. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's what I am. But one of the concepts that works for me when I work with students is hooking something or pairing something that is unfamiliar with the familiar to teach. So, for example, if I'm trying to teach them a concept of time or how long something takes them and it's an unfamiliar concept, like how long can you figure out what 20 minutes is like for you, or can you figure out how long, look, you just read 20 pages and it took you X amount of time. If I compare it to something that is very familiar to them, that concept really helps them to have that aha moment. So, for example, if you say, oh, you know what, you read 10 pages and that took you a half an hour, that's about the same amount of time as it takes you to watch a Family Guy episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helps. I don't know, do I know the science behind it? No, of course not. But when I take something that is new and unfamiliar and pair it with something that they know, as you said with the swimming, that they know exactly how long it takes them, trust me, they know how long a Family Guy episode is, or they know how long a level can take them in World of Warcraft, you know?
Yep.
So if I pair it with something that they are familiar with, that helps them to get up to speed a little faster and to be able to put some parameters around the unknown time.
I don't mean to chew up some time, but I read a book that Earl Woods wrote on Tiger Woods when he was young, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's out of print right now. But it was interesting because when Tiger Woods got to first grade or second grade, his math skills were way ahead of time because he had always had to count above par and over par, and he actually learned math initially on the golf course, and he could relate it. So when they kind of came back, because he was pairing something that he liked with a math skill, and again, I have to like through the book, but it was so funny because it was of interest to him, and he learned that just because of what he did, and to be able to kind of compare those things is kind of fascinating. So, we really should have scheduled a sequel to this, but we don't have a whole heck of a lot of time. So can you just share one or two last major concepts to kind of share with the people that you think is kind of important so we can kind of give people a little bit of flavor here?
Yes. I think one of the biggest concepts that we need to tap into is homework. I know we touched on it at the very beginning.
Yep.
Homework is huge, and we want to put our students' best practices in place so that when they automatically start their homework, they're coming from a place of good and not from evil. So we talk about creating what we call a personal homework profile, taking into account when's their best time, where's their best time, do they need to move, do they need silence or noise, do they need music or not, do they need to be eating, all of that holistic, taking the whole child in to create a profile for them that will set them off on the right path to get homework done.
You said a few things that are interesting is that
I said it quickly.
Back on Attention Talk Video, if you go onto YouTube and go Attention Talk Video Olivardia or Attention Talk Video Pete, Dr. Olivardia, I was interviewing him one time about how he wrote his Harvard dissertation in psychology, watching punk rock videos on the same screen he was writing. He talked about the rhythm, but the unintended part of that interview that was interesting is by accident he learned that he reads 7 times faster riding a subway than he does sitting at home. And in an interview with another coach, Pete, when he has to read, he actually goes out for a walk. I mean, he reads a book by walking down the street. And these are interesting types of things that, for whatever reason, those with ADHD, it could be that they need to be moving. There's a psychologist in North Carolina whose name escapes me, who sent me a picture. She actually has a piece of wood on a treadmill, and that's where her laptop is. So her office is, whenever she's working, she's actually walking on the treadmill because it helps her focus. I've coached a lot of people before where they need what I call a white experience. It's like white noise, but it's an experience. So if they're at Starbucks and there's a lot of movement around all over the place and everybody else is paying attention to something, they can actually kind of hone in. But if they're in a situation where there's not a lot of movement, everything kind of stands out and kind of distracts them. And understanding that environment that you work with, and you also touched on something. My mom, as she got older, she talked about how she used to have peak time and non-peak time. It was interesting, and we've actually talked with Wilma Feldman about energy levels in terms of trying to find a job and what's kind of involved. Is these are the components that you look at to figure out what that profile is in order for you to put together these homework plans, because you want to be optimal for them to take advantage of the situation.
Absolutely. You said it better than I did. But that's all it. We talk about that, not, you know, that old school of coming home and sitting down and sitting in one place and sitting in a quiet room with the door closed at a desk. It's in fact old school. And so one of the things I've created different types of homework games where we hide homework, and wherever the student finds the homework, they have to do it. It's a great way, because we know that the research shows us, one of the things that research shows us is the more we move, the more we lay down learning. So we tap into those types of things to really give our students, you know, a good launching off spot when they we know that after a full day, particularly our ADHD kids, they're spent, they've had it. So we need to come from a place at least to give them the best thing possible to get them started.
So, oh, God, you're bringing it. I can't help. If you go back in our archives in Attention Talk Radio, Carol Barnier, I remember interviewing her, God, years ago, because she was a homeschool mom. And when she was trying to teach her kid math, she would go out to the pool and she would tell them a math problem. She'd throw something in the water and they had to dive down and get it. And when they came back up, they were supposed to give the answer to it. And she said it was amazing how flawless it was.
Absolutely. We, in my house, we used to walk the dog, Jeff. We would take the flashcards and the dog, my son and I. We'd walk the block for 20 minutes. He got every answer. He studied. We came home. He'd say, "Don't I have to study now?" I'm like, "You just did."
Again, I don't mean to kind of move fast, but for time, I did an interview years ago with Dr. Sidney Zintal out of Purdue, and she talked about how when they're ADHD, if you're going to talk about like a situation, you got to make it sick and disgusting, and you need to really emphasize it, because, like, you know, this kid, he sat down, he had the biggest booger you ever had, because that stimulation helps them pay attention to it.
Oh.
And as you emphasize those types of things, whether it's movement or you have to bring a lot of drama to the party or whatever for these homework profiles, it really can make a lot of sense. Number one, make it a lot easier. And even as you describe, like walking around the park, sometimes you can get them to do the homework and they didn't even know they did it. If you can tap into – it's the inside. It's inside out. It's not, here's the way you should do – you should wrap your brain around it. Let's see how your brain works, because it will tell us – it will point to what will work for you.
Absolutely. Listen, I talk about my son all the time. My son is a big theater kid, and he's constantly memorizing lines, and he even knows. I hear it from upstairs, the pacing. He'll leave a script on the mantle at our fireplace, and I hear him walking back and forth, because he will even say now that the more he moves, the more he can lay down the lines. He can lay down the learning. He can't do it sitting.
Wow, amazing. Well,
right?
Leslie, unfortunately, we're running out of time. I'd really like to kind of go on. We could probably make this into three sequels, but needless to say, I hope our listeners enjoy this tonight. You got a lot of value of it. I encourage you, go to orderookchaos.com. Check out the book. Like I said, it's an easy read. It's like 75 pages. It's a piece of cake. And so with that, Leslie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, so much fun having me. Thank you.
Everybody, again, it's orderookchaos.com. Go check it out and learn a little bit more about Leslie. And everybody, Hope you enjoyed tonight's show and catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.